message today. Dear gracious and loving Father in heaven, hallowed and honored be thy name. We ask that you bless us here today and send your Holy Spirit among us as I deliver this message. We want the praise and the honor to be to you. Through Christ Yeshua of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. I want to open this morning with scripture from 2 Peter, chapters 1, 5 through 11. And the title of our message today is, If You Do These Things, You Will Never Stumble. 2 Peter, chapter 1, 5 through 11. And for this very reason, also having applied all diligence besides, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control endurance, and to endurance godliness, and to godliness brotherly love, and to brotherly love the love of God. For if these things exist and abound in you, they will cause you to be neither lacking effort nor lacking fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. But in the one whom these things are not present is spiritually blind, so short-sighted that he has forgotten that he was purified from his old sins. For this reason, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, because if you are doing these things, you will never fall at any time. For in this way, you will be richly granted an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. Now, the latter part of verse 10 tells us if we do these things, we will never fall. Now, the word never was translated from the Greek word oume. It literally means never, certainly not, not at all, by no means. And the word fall is translated from the Greek word patio. It means to err, to make a mistake, to sin. So the apostle is telling us here very literally that if we do these things, we will by no means sin. Now that's a very strong statement from Peter, but a true one. But this goes against everything that's being preached today from most pulpits. It is no wonder that the Word of God indicates to us that the saved are a extremely, extremely small part of those who profess to know the Lord. As Yeshua says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13 and verse 24, he says, strive with your whole being to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter, but shall not be able. So he tells us that out of those who are striving to enter, not very many are going to make it. And he also tells us there very clearly that we must strive with our whole being. And that also goes against what the world teaches, does it not? They all say, just have faith. Just have faith. That's all you got to do. But we should expect this. For we've been warned by the Word of God itself that this world is full of false prophets, false teachers, and false spiritual leaders in high places. The apostle told us to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, and brotherly love, and the love of God. He said to do this with all diligence. All diligence doesn't mean just do it when you think about it. Just do it once a week when you come to services. It means to put it as a priority in your life. daily, moment by moment. So we have our Lord and Savior Yeshua telling us to strive with our whole being, and we have one of his highly favored apostles telling us to have all diligence in our walk here. And why did they both say to do this? They said to do this that we might be allowed to enter into the kingdom. Now, that's the place where I want to be. That's where I want to go when this world's over. Now, back there in 2 Peter, before the scripture we read in chapter 1, verse 1, Peter says that this message is to those who have obtained the same precious faith by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. So we're talking about what we need to do after we come to repentance and are purified from our sins. Now I would like to briefly touch on the fact that if you have not repented yet of your old sins, it's a must in order to be allowed to enter into the kingdom. And repent, I think we all know here, repent means turn away from. It doesn't mean continue in. It means turn away from. In Acts chapter 2, on that point, in Acts chapter 2, after hearing the truth of the resurrection of Yeshua and the truth cutting them to the heart, the people asked Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do?" I mean, think about it. They were cut to their heart and they cried out to the apostles, "What shall we do?" And in Acts chapter 2 and 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah for the remission of sins. And you yourselves shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Amen. We know for a fact from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 9 that faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit. That precious faith that he talked about is a gift from the Holy Spirit. So in our key scripture today from 2 Peter, Peter is speaking to those who have already repented, turned away from the sins, and been purified by our Savior and received the Holy Spirit. And he's given us the key to never, that's right, never sin again. Now, as I mentioned a while ago, that goes against everything being preached from pulpits today. It goes, you know, everybody. As a matter of fact, I'll briefly touch on, I had an aunt who was a professed Christian call me this week one day while I was working on this message. And she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm working on a message that I need to deliver in Dyersburg this weekend." She says, "Oh, well, what's the title of it?" So I told her. And she said, "Well, what's that about?" I said, "That's about the fact that we're not supposed to continue sinning." And now this woman is a professed Christian, from even a Sabbath-keeping denomination. And she says, "Oh, well, we'll always be sinners. We'll be sinners till the day we die or till Christ returns." And I said, "Well, I don't really believe that's what the Word says. It doesn't say we have to be sinners. So if we are sinners, don't blame it on God. It's on us, not Him. Because never sinning again, as Peter told us there, does not go against what the Savior taught. Because Yeshua tells us in Matthew 5 and 48, "Therefore you shall be perfect, even as your Father who in heaven is perfect." So Yeshua says for us to be perfect, just like our Father in heaven is perfect. And let me tell you something, the Father doesn't sin. And again, we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, Peter says, "For this reason, be prepared in your minds, be self-controlled and fully hoping in the grace that that will be brought to you at the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. As obedient children, do not conform yourself to the former lust, as you did in your ignorance. But according as he who has called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Be holy because I am holy. It is written. And he was quoting that from Leviticus chapter 11 and verses 14, and it was directly from Yahweh. He told us to be holy as he is holy. So we have Yahweh telling us to be holy as I am holy. We have Yeshua telling us to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. But yet we see everyone preaching that you can't do that. Everyone says you can't do that. And we see in what we just read here from Peter that he's making it quite clear here that grace does not mean we can go on sinning. He says the complete opposite. He mentions grace, then he goes on to say that we have to be holy the same as the one who called us is holy. And now that's quite the opposite of sinning, is it not? Amen. Because we know for a fact, if we believe the Word of God, Yeshua never once sinned when he walked this earth. Not one time. Peter goes on to tell us over here in 1 Peter 2, verses 20 and 22, for what commendation is there if disobeying and being beaten you endure it? But if while doing good you endure suffering, this is acceptable with God. For to this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps, who committed no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So if you sin, don't blame it on somebody else. Don't say, well, the only reason I got mad and acted stupid and sinned was because this person did that or this person said that. It's not on them, it's on you. Because remember, we're supposed to follow in his footsteps. And I'm here to tell you today that if you're still breathing, you hadn't been treated as bad as he was. And in all of that, he never sinned, nor was guile found in his mouth. Second Peter 2 and 9 tells us the Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptation. So there's not anything that comes your way or our way that gives us an excuse to sin. For he always provides us a sinless route if we choose to take it. Do you believe that? Do you believe he'll always provide a righteous path for us? He will. But it is up to us to choose the narrow path. He's not going to force us to take it. Because then we wouldn't have free will, would we? But it's available for us. And he himself walked the narrow path when he was here on earth, did he not? And 1 John 2 and 6 tells us, anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself to walk even as he himself walked. So if he walked the narrow path and we claim to know him, is that not the same path we must walk? These scriptures are very clear and to the point. And Yeshua himself tells us in John 14 and 12, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me shall also do the works that I do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I am going to the Father. So our Lord and Savior has commissioned us to do greater works than He did. Greater works than He did. And I think we all know of the works that He did. He healed the sick. He made the blind see. He raised the dead. He walked on water. He fed thousands with a couple of loaves of fish. Some mighty works that He did. But He told us to do greater works than those. Greater works. Do you know why we continue to fail, and in fact appear to be incapable of carrying out this commission He gave us? Because our lives are full of sin. That's why. We are full of sin, and the apostle told us, if we do these things, we will never sin again. We often hear statements such as, nobody's perfect. But as we read earlier in Matthew 5 and 48, our Lord and Savior told us straight out to be perfect. He didn't say you can't be perfect. He told us to be perfect. And we have examples in the Word where men were perfect. Okay? What does it tell us about Job? He was an upright, righteous man, perfect in every way. Perfect. Doesn't say he was almost perfect. It says he was perfect in every way. What do you think about Enoch? Enoch was found so righteous that God took him. How glorious would that be? To be found so righteous by our God and Father that He couldn't bear to see you die. We know it's possible because we have the example in the Word where it happened. Not just to Enoch, but to Elijah. Preachers today try and convince people that God gave us too many laws in the Old Testament and they were impossible to follow. Do they not? So they say that the Messiah came and He did away with all of that. And He gave us an easier path to follow. Just to believe in Him and love everybody. That's all you got to do. Just believe in Him and love everybody. But brothers and sisters, the Scriptures call them liars. I don't call them liars. The Word of God calls them liars. Peter warned us about them. And when Peter was warning us about them, as he put it, people that were twisting his beloved brother Paul's writings and other Scriptures, he said to us in 2 Peter 3:17, therefore, beloved, since you know this in advance, be on guard against such practices, lest you be led astray by the error of the lawless ones and fall from your own steadfastness. So the apostle warned us about these Scripture twisters, and he called it the error of the lawless ones. And stop for just a second and think here about what we're talking about. These people that tell us that God gave us too many laws to follow and it couldn't be done, so Christ came and did away with all of it. These people also are telling you that you can't follow the New Testament or the renewed covenant as it is. Because they say no one's perfect. They say you can't live a sinless life. And we're reading Scriptures here today from our Lord and Savior telling us to be perfect, and from His highly favored apostle telling us to sin no more. But they continue to say you cannot live a sinless life, that you cannot be perfect. Believing their lie is why the body of believers as of yet are not able to carry out this commission that Yeshua has for us. That's why you don't see the great works being performed as He said they should be. We as a body pray together. We come together and we pray. We may even anoint people. We ask for miracles. But then when they don't happen, what do? We say, well, it wasn't the Lord's will. Wasn't the Lord's will. That's not what the Word says. The Word says it is the Lord's will for it to happen. The Word of God tells us that it is His will. We see all the things He did, and He tells us to do greater things. But yet we want to blame Him when the miracles don't happen. It's not His fault, it's our fault. If we would clean our lives of our sin, our open sin and our secret sin, like David was talking about today, then these miracles would come. We would be able to carry out the commission that Yeshua gave us. So let us quit blaming Him who is perfect and start putting the blame where it belongs on ourselves. Let us clean our lives of this sin and start operating in the power that He intended for us to operate in. Let us quit being the hypocrites that Isaiah prophesied of, and that Yeshua spoke of, saying, "These people have drawn near to me with their mouths, and their lips they honor me, but their hearts are far away from me, for they worship me in vain, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For leaving the commandment of God, you hold fast to the tradition of men." People, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in a dirty house. And that's why we are not operating in the power we're supposed to operate in. Where the Holy Spirit is, miracles happen. So when the power does not come, let's clean our house of the filth. Let's start walking the narrow path and quit saying nobody is perfect. And start being holy as He is holy, as we're commanded to do. And the power of the Holy Spirit will come. And the gifts will be present. And the miracles will happen. Now you may say this is a hard message. And it is. Because the Word of God tells us the way is difficult. It does not tell us as easy as these scripture twisters say that it is. It doesn't say just come to Him and you'll be blessed, and give us $100 and you'll get $1,000 back in return. It doesn't say that anywhere, does it? The scriptures in no way promise us it will be easy. In fact, we're told by Yeshua in Revelation 3:21, "To the one who overcomes, I will give authority to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in His throne." And what did Yeshua have to overcome? He had to overcome the temptation to sin. We have a lot of these scripture-twisting people that also tell us that He wasn't capable of sin. He was certainly capable of sin, or it would have served no purpose for Him coming and walking perfectly in the Torah. It tells us in Hebrews 4:15, "We do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in all things according to the likeness of our own temptations. Yet He was without sin." We have to overcome sin the same way He overcame sin. So how did He overcome sin? In John 5 and 19, we see how. It tells us, therefore Yeshua answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son has no power to do anything of Himself, but only what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, these things the Son also does in the same manner. What did He say? The Son has no power to do anything of Himself, but only what He sees the Father do. Now, we've already read scriptures from Leviticus and Peter telling us, be ye holy because I am holy. And from Matthew, Yeshua telling us, be perfect even as the Father is perfect. And we see here that Yeshua is telling us He did it exactly the same way He tells us to do it. He did it by following the Father's example. He overcame by doing the will of the Father. The same way as He tells us in Matthew 7 and 21, that not everyone who says to Him, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is doing the will of His Father who is in heaven. And don't we see many people today doing just what He's talking about there? They profess to know Jesus. They constantly proclaim Him. And many of them even say He speaks to them. But they ignore the Father and the will of the Father. In fact, they speak bad of those of us who try to follow the will of the Father, do they not? They say we're trying to work our way into heaven. We're not trying to work our way into heaven. We know who saves us. The Messiah, Yeshua, saves us. Or they say that we don't know, that we don't realize that we're not under the law anymore. Well, I say to them, I know I'm not under the law because I'm in harmony with the law. But to them, I would say, Peter tells me in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, that the judgment of old is in full force for them because they blaspheme the way of the truth. So we have to clean our lives of sin in order to be in harmony with the law of God. For we are told in 1 John 3 and 4 that whosoever committeth sin transgresses also for the law, for sin is transgression of the law. Now some people go so far to try to justify continuing in sin that they come up with such things as iniquity and sin being two different things. That way they think that somehow they can be full of sin but still be found without iniquity. Is exactly what they're trying to do and say. But in fact, the word iniquity found in the King James Version in verses like Matthew 7, 23, where Yeshua says, for those who work iniquity depart from Him, that word iniquity is translated from the Greek word anomia, meaning the condition of without law. It is also the word that John used here in his epistle. When he said that sin was transgression of the law, the whole phrase, the transgression of the law, was translated from the word anomia. So in fact, John said here, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also for the law, for sin is iniquity. That's exactly what he said. Sin is iniquity. It's the same word as iniquity is translated from. So you cannot be full of sin and be found with no iniquity because sin is iniquity. And the sin in our lives is what causes us separation from the Lord. You remember in one of our key scriptures this morning, Peter told us, if you do these things, you shall not fall at any time. So he says, We shall not fall at any time if we do these things. So what makes us fall? Hosea 14:1 tells us. It tells us, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have fallen because of your iniquity. So we have fallen. We have experienced this separation from our Lord because of our sins, because of our iniquity. Now, I'm not saying that we haven't sinned, because we know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it says in 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. So we have all been sinners. This does not mean in any way to continue in sin. John says in this same epistle in chapter 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, that the wicked one touches him not. He said, whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And Paul says in Romans 6:1-2, what then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? May it never be. We who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? So we see straight from the Word of God that when you are born again of God, grace covers every sin you ever committed up until that point. But we also see that we are to no longer sin anymore. It does not say grace covers us to continue sinning. In fact, we see in Hebrews 10:26-29, for if we willfully go on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of inevitable judgment of fierce fire, which will devour the adversaries of God. Consider this. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses dies without mercy under the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded the blood of the covenant with which he was sanctified as an unholy thing and has scorned the Spirit of grace? Now, willfully sinning means to know it's a sin and do it anyway. So if we claim that we have been redeemed, if we claim that we know him, we've been redeemed by his blood, and we knowingly sin, the Scripture says we're trampling the blood of our Savior under our feet. And that all you can look forward to is the fierce fire that devours the adversaries of God. So if any of us fall into this category, we need to truly repent, turn away from sin, and walk with God, so that we'll be able to recognize the narrow path out of temptation when we see it. And not only recognize it, but willingly take it. Amen. Do not think it's impossible to walk a sinless walk. Yeshua came in the flesh, and he did it as an example for us to follow. To say it is impossible is showing a lack of faith in God. For Yeshua tells us in Matthew 17:20, now this was when his disciples were asking him why they had failed at doing something, and they'd tried to do in his name, he had to do it for himself. He said to them, because of your unbelief. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as tiny as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove from here, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible to you. If we have faith as small as a mustard seed, and I don't know how many of you have ever looked on a mustard seed, but it's so small if you ain't got good eyes, you might miss it. It's very tiny. But if we have that small amount of faith, nothing shall be impossible to us. Absolutely nothing. This is why he told us, as we read earlier in John, that we should do greater works than he did. We can't believe the Scriptures, and the Scriptures tell us to be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect, and to be holy as he is holy, and that if we have a tiny amount of faith, nothing's impossible to us, and then think that we can't walk a sinless walk in this world. Now, to my knowledge, I haven't sinned this morning. And I hope none of you have. All we have to do is not sin the rest of the day. And then get up tomorrow with the same attitude. It's kind of like the story I heard one time about a little girl. She asked her dad, she said, Dad, do you think I can go a month without sinning? He said, oh, baby, no, I don't think so. And she said, well, what about a week? He said, I don't know. She said, well, do you think I can go a day without sinning? He said, baby, I don't know if I would put that on you. She said, well, do you think I can go a minute without sinning? And he said, yeah, I think you can do that. And she said, well, I think I'll just live minute by minute. So that's all we have to do. Live minute by minute and choose not to sin this minute. So have the faith and know that it's not impossible to free your life of sin. And start carrying out what Yeshua commissioned for us. And start operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because I don't know who here has experienced the Holy Spirit, but it's a mighty powerful thing. Mighty powerful thing. And I'm going to close with one more scripture. And it's going to be from Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9. It tells us, who is wise? He shall understand these things. Who is understanding? He shall know them. For the ways of Yahweh are right, and the just walk in them. But transgressors shall fall in them. Amen. So know that the ways of Yahweh are right. Know that these people who tell you the Old Testament is invalid are the twister scriptures that Paul warned us about. I mean, that Peter warned us about, twisting his beloved brother Paul's writings and the rest of the scriptures. Because, as I pointed out earlier, these same people are the same ones that tell you it's impossible to follow the New Testament also. Because if we pointed out this morning from these scriptures, the New Testament very much commissions us to do greater works than Yeshua did. They'll tell you that's impossible. It tells us to walk a sinless life. They'll tell you that's impossible. It tells us to be perfect, and they'll also tell you that's impossible. So don't listen to man. Don't follow the tradition of man. Listen to Yahweh and Yeshua and follow what they tell us to do and live moment by moment in a sinless life. Amen.